Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air. We'll tip the card here. I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Ah, it is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus, with the best in the business, Mick Sharkey, who has guaranteed us that he will tip the card tomorrow at the Heath. And it's been an interesting morning for you, Sharkey. You've
some recognition around here.
You've already been involved in a little bit of competitive tension this morning with a fellow RSN 927 alumni.
Oh, not particularly competitive. I just happened to get out for my morning run just as David Gately was doing some track work of his own, and the running track we run on, there's different entry points, so I've jumped on and I noticed he'd just gone past. Gee, the bald spot in the back of his head's getting large, isn't it?
Talk about bone crusher, Al Waverley star, M. Sharkey taking on David Gately.
It was really funny.
Did the other runners just stop and stare?
Oh, actually, one fellow who's got the same dog as me, and he's a punter, and I ran past him, and he went, "That was Gator up there." And I went, "Yeah, I know." And he said, he's beating you. I said, "No, he's already beating me." But it couldn't work it out, because I'd sort of start catching him and get up to 50 yards away. And then he'd go again. I thought, "Are you playing with me?" And I texted him later on, and he said he was doing fartlek sessions.
So that's where...
Anyway, he was doing six on, two off.
Jobs,
so the two offs, I was catching him. And then the six on, he was off and gone with his little chicken legs and his... Gee, it's a big bald spot, though.
It is.
I hadn't seen him. Usually, you know, Gator's in front of you on TV and everything else because he's a superstar. The angle from behind, it's not
there's probably flattering. There's probably reason now for him just to shave it, just to cut it all
Look,
off.
I think so. He shaved his legs.
He's holding on too much.
I don't think
much.
He's got any body hair left. I think he's...
It's the only
he's a clean skin. Yeah, he's very aerodynamic. Apart from the little feathers on the top, he is very, very slick and smooth.
He won't hear this because you'll be in the bay swimming.
He's silky.
As we speak. But, look, we might put this to him next week.
Should you run in Lycra? I think that's something we should ask because...
No, he wasn't running in Lycra.
He was running in Lycra.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a little skin-tight number.
No.
It's not a good look.
All I can think of is Matt Shervington when it's running in Lycra. But
yeah,
we don't
it was a cold morning.
There.
I think it might have been a bit of shit.
Let's move on as quick as we can, because not only are you running, you're eating raw eggs for breakfast, so you're not feeling yourself at the moment.
Oh, they're good. They're good. They get you going. I'm trying to get the kids out of the house on Wednesday morning, and I ran a bit short of time, so I just threw a couple in a cup, and I thought, that's actually not bad. So let's see how long this lasts. It's not exactly Wim Hof. Chukhoff, maybe.
Well, all right. Raw eggs for breakfast and racing with David Gately. You can only improve this morning on Friday Form Focus. Now, Jason Kerr, he's a little busy at the moment. He's holding a trainers' meeting down at Caulfield, but he has rung through with all of the weather and track conditions. There's a good four rails out 9, which is the first time it's been out 9 since the 4th of April.
Mm.
Had no rain this week at Caulfield.
That
so
is good news.
On a good four deck. Now, I think there's a bit of wind around tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to see how windy it is on the day, which is headwind down the side, is it, or down the 1,200 metres?
It'll be sort of blowing into the grandstand a little bit. Yeah, down the side, it'll be getting them. But it's only, I had a look this morning, because I'm going out for a fish today, because it is absolutely glorious this afternoon, and the whiting should be going off their heads around sort of Stony Point way. It is tomorrow, or northerly now, okay. So northerly 15 to 20 knots. So yeah, be down there into the heads of the leaders.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
That's not really bad.
Interesting
knots.
To see how that plays out. Well, and
it's not hectic.
It'll be a firm deck tomorrow. One man. I wonder what Simon Zara has for breakfast. Would he be a runner, Simon?
A runner.
He was a very good footballer, I hear.
Yeah,
very
I heard he was more of a diesel type, just sort of in and under. You know, get it and go. There wasn't a lot of. I don't think there would have been a lot of speed.
He's only got little legs.
In the pistons? No.
Simon Zara joins us now.
Plenty of endurance.
Were you a runner, Simon?
Yeah, I was a sprinter, actually.
Really?
Oh, there you go.
You got it all
what
wrong,
level
mate.
Did you get to?
No, I just did ACT at footy's more my go. So enjoyed ever having me and my brother around the Commonwealth Games 4x100. So he's just leading the family.
Did he really? I had no idea.
There we
go. So what time family. Did you run 100 in?
It was about 10:99, 11:02s around there.
This is outstanding.
Hang on, are you fair dinkum? 10:90, you broke 11 for 100.
Yeah, I might have been winning the history that day.
Can we organise a match race between you and Jason Richards? Why didn't you run in the Sox plate all those years ago at Moonee Valley?
I'm not sure if the Hammies would handle that anymore.
Come on, Simon. You know the number one rule? Don't hide your talents under a bushel. Get it out there, my friend. You've got to tell the world.
You know the number one rule? Give it away when you're at the top, not at the bottom.
The fastest man in racing joining us now, Simon Zara. So that's what we know the secret to his success. He actually teaches all his horses personally how to run so fast. And he's got a couple of nice ones tomorrow. Intriguing runners in this first race, Sharky. I'll be interested to see what Simon thinks about Island Joy and the stablemate, Crystal Chief, who without doubt should have won on debut. How do you split them, Simon?
Well, that's a good question. I've been asked that a lot in the last couple of days, but probably honestly couldn't really split them. Crystal Chief, quite a raw sort of horse, and obviously, off that slow tempo, he had good closing sectionals the other day. And, he hit the line quite well. And, obviously, Island Joy had no luck and was free riding, hit the front and still didn't know what to do, and there was still plenty left. So, two nice progressive sort of horses and, just drawn one and two. And I'm sure that Island Joy will probably be in front of the other bloke, and the other bloke will follow her through. So, probably be a battle of tactics, if anything.
The Chief just fumbled that start a little bit on debut. Is that typical of him, or was that a one-off? Oh, I'm sort of reading this race and thinking if he can settle closer, then he probably looks the winner.
Well, look, he's quite a raw sort of horse. So, we threw him in the deep end a little bit the other day, and, I just love the way he said the owners. Look, he should be finishing off strong. We thought he might get a bit lost up in the middle of the straight, and, he did a bit wrong. We probably surprised us that sort of how mature he was when he actually got to the race. And so they both worked together Tuesday morning, and you probably couldn't split him with anything. Probably the Chief might have had it over her, but they've both just really come on from the races, so I'm a bit reluctant to sort of to try and split them. And I think whoever gets the nicest run will be pretty competitive.
Have you ever worked them together?
Yeah, they worked Tuesday morning together, and probably the Chief had it over just a touch, but might have been my eyes in the fog Tuesday morning a bit. So I've got vision of it. There wasn't much between them, but they're two really, really nice horses, and look, two nice horses for the autumn, that's for sure, for the spring, that's for sure.
Another nice horse you've got going around tomorrow in the second is Samals, and she's a bit of a jump-out star, but on the track she's brought that form with her. I reckon she should have won her first three last time round.
Yeah, I declared when she had a function one day and got scratched at the gate. I got 10s and everyone else got 2. She's a good filly. She's a good filly, I think. She's a bit of a barrier problem too, so she can play up a fair bit in the gate. So we just got to be a bit careful of that tomorrow. And Jamie's been trying her and been wrapped the way she's been going. And she just jumps and puts herself into the race, and as long as she doesn't go too hard on herself, she's got a good kick at the end.
Has she come back better?
I think racing-wise, she just seems a bit more switched on. She just seems to be sort of doing things a lot better, not going 100% flat out on the track and doing things a lot better. But I reckon another spell under her belt, she's going to be a nice sort of mare, in time. But it looked a nice race for her. She's drawn a bit awkward. She's going to have to do a fair bit of work early. But she's got that good natural speed that we won't be holding her up at any stage.
And High and Dry in race 9, up in class a little bit, but close to a win now, I'd have thought. Building up well this prep.
Yeah, look, he came off a 10, and it's just taken a while to sort of get his fitness back and get his, his race smart. He was a bit rusty early on, and he just probably got there a bit soon the other day. He got taken on a bit early and just got, you know, just sort of got floated a bit when he hit the front. So, look, he's a horse who's always had a really high opinion of. You know, he probably should have won a couple of lead-ups to the Adelaide Derby and just got, you know, bad gate got him back. But, look, obviously a huge step, but don't be surprised if he's hitting the line pretty hard.
All right, Mr. 1099, what's your best tomorrow? And you've got a couple of sneakies at the provincials, which have got a good chance as well, at Bendigo.
Oh!
Yeah, two nice chances there. I thought Speed No Limit first up from a tendon injury the other day went absolutely super and going quite well. And the other filly, her jump out was terrific last week and you know, she seems to have come on from that win, so two really nice chances at Bendigo.
All right, so where are we playing? Where's your multi?
Well, I think it's just an all up. Well, maybe an all up place that can't go wrong. I learned off BZ last week. I got greedy a couple of weeks ago. The Tory cost me $72,000. So I got
what?
Greedy.
Was that the last leg of a multi?
Yeah, last leg of a multi. And I didn't cash out. No good.
Hey Simon, I've just got a text through from arguably, I think we can call, fair to say we can call him the fastest man in racing, Jason Richardson, saying 10.99, not bad. We call them marathon runners.
Oh,
oh, you're in the pot.
Oh, I like this. We need to get this organised. We might just do a because look, both of you have got a little age on your side now.
That's all right.
The hairless v the hairy, maybe just a little 60 metre.
A very good friend of mine, Rick Mirabella, is one of the. Literally one of the best running coaches in Melbourne. He can sort Simon out, I reckon. He can get him going.
Would you prefer the syntho or the grass?
Obviously Jason likes the grass because he pulls a few rorts on that. So I'm at the...
All right. Well, we'll try and get this worked out. Richo v. Mr. 1099, a 60-metre dash. This would be great. This would get the crowds back to the track when we're allowed to. So we'll work on that.
Make sure the ambulance there.
Good on you, Simon.
Thanks, guys.
Simon Zara. What about the $72,000 multi? Yeah, was just
sort of skated over that.
Gee whiz. All right.
$10.99. That's not bad going.
It's flying. Mm. What is Richo's PB? Text us in, Richo.
Richo, what's your PB?
What's the best over 100? I'd like to know that. All right, first race tomorrow. What are you doing with Simon and Maddie's runners? So can you split them?
We've got to talk about the races now. We can't top the first 10 minutes of this show. Just go home now. I had Crystal Chief on top, but he's on the proviso that he can sit closer. That slow start cost him as much as the tempo, I think, at Flemington. It's too much ground given up in the first 100 metres. Yeah, he was sort of hemmed in and had to bull his way out, and the gap appeared all too late. It was a great finish, but he's short enough, I think, without seeing more of him. I know Jabali Ridge has got weight, but have a look at the form around this horse. On debut, he runs second to Conceited, who has Wisdom of Water and Away Game form through the Magic Millions. Then he comes out and he wins at Flemington, beating Hungry Heart, who wins the Sweet Embrace, and then runs fifth in a slipper. And then he goes around in a Blue Diamond, probably where he wanted to wander about and get back into the rump. Maybe just feeling his shins a little bit. He's back now. His jump out was good. Oliver takes the ride. I know he's got 61, but on these higher than average minimum weights, it's not that bad. I'm sort of drawn to him at the price.
He's about $7.
And the form. Yeah. I can't see him running badly, Jabali Ridge. Dark Horse was good on debut. Didn't run flush time, but he was okay. Valaquenta, I'm starting to wonder about. Debut run was good. Nothing really came out of that race. Blue Diamond probably run was okay. Randwick run first up. Ugh. You know, it was... I know the leader sort of had that race covered, but he didn't really find the line like I thought he would. Johnny Boss was alright. There's horses here that are winning and running well, but nothing's really grabbing me and saying, you've got to back me. That's why I sort of defaulted back to Jabali Ridge in that strong form.
Alright, Jabali Ridge, with Ollie on board, a bit of value in the first race, currently around about $7 for the Shark.
Update from Richo. Ran a nice 10-3 in Perth in 1996. Did have a little sweet tailwind. Problem was, Linford Christie ran 9-8 and thrashed us all.
Linford Christie. All right, well...
Linford Christie?
I know. I didn't realise Richo was that old.
I didn't realise that either.
How did he go against Ben Johnson?
I think there's a good story around that. I still haven't heard it. He won't tell me.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, I think they're both off scratch. There's no handicaps here. It's no stall gift. It's head-to-head over the flying 60. We'll have to work on
this. I back Richo because I think Richo sort of relatively looked after himself and his daughters
There's a bit
are
more
all,
vanity with
His
Richo,
daughters
yeah.
are all, like, really good athletes.
I think I'd probably back his daughters over.
Well, yeah, Richo. But he's been sort of running with them, so there's that bit of keeping up sort of thing, whereas Simon sounded like before when he was laughing, he was about to keel over. that's a concern.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe he does get a head start then. Race two at Caulfield tomorrow, and we get to see some males here, and Paul's Regret, who has been very, very... I just had an SMS for someone asking, how did he go against Jesse Owens, Richo?
Richo says he'll give him 10.
Oh, God, this is getting interesting.
Yeah, we're getting legs on this. All right. This is good.
Paul's Regrets, a $4.80 chance, had no luck last start at Caulfield. Samales, a $5 chance. And Broadway in fourth, another one who got lost with the wide barrier, having to go back last start. Made fair ground, draws a better gate tomorrow. Who do you like in the second?
Well, I'm not as much of a jump-out perv as our good friend the Bald Eagle, who is, you know, literally finger-on-the-pulse sort of stuff. And he turned me on to Samal's last preparation, and I thank him for that, because it won its first start, and it was a decent price there. Came back and won again. I thought, yeah, the old eagle has done me a favour here. Unlucky at its next two. Jump-outs this time round have been just as good as she'd shown in the past. I think she can win this race. She was scratched last week for this. I think it's a more suitable race for her on the minimum. Really, really hard to beat here. There's a couple of others that I think demand a bit of respect. Kalkani Royal is one of those, number nine. Now, she's around...
$11.
That's too long for this horse. Mornington debut win was really good. I don't think she beat a lot, but got the job done really well. Absorbed pressure at Cranbourne. And kept going and was always holding them there. A couple of them sort of got close to the line. It wasn't as easy a margin as what she held up on debut, but she just had them covered and was very strong late. I think she'll measure up here. She'll be hard to beat. You'd imagine she'd be forward, if not leading, probably sitting second outside a horse like Button Express. But very, very hard to beat. Samales on top. Kalkani Royal is the danger. This will be the day my old mate Broadway in fourth wins, so I better have... I'm going to have something on it just in case. But I'm in a little one-horse nominating tip competition. You earn points, you know, 3-2-1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I can see this is the week I go away from Broadway in fourth and she wins and costs me. It's going to happen.
Well, look, the run was better than it looks on paper last start. And I think from the wide gate...
Her racing style just...
No, it's
and
tough.
She's handy at this time of year. She's really against it with weight at the handicap with that sort of running style. She's got to stand them too much of a ground, and most of them she's giving weight to. So,
Paul's Regret.
Yeah.
I haven't
going well.
Mentioned it.
Going well again. Gets a long way back. Hits the line late.
Does it want a wet track?
Possibly.
Or am I just thinking good. Every Pete Chow?
Yeah, every right. Pete Chow train horse of tends to like it, doesn't it? It's got good form on top of the ground, too. One of its better wins was at Mooney Valley when it led all the way at its second start. It was a really good win. It can handle the top of the ground.
All right. And the Bald Eagle is on Samales, declaring yesterday one of his bets of the weekend. So he's happy
okay.
with how
I like
she
that.
Is trialling. And you're getting $5. So Samales, a bet for the Shark in race number two. Race number three, the Ned's handicap, Ruben Blur, is at 4.20. This is one of the most interesting runners of the day, and we need your help here, Sharky.
There's
Dubai
Internationals.
There are, aren't there? Dubai Dominion is at $4.40 and has been backed. What can you tell us about this international runner?
Okay.
Especially over 1,200 metres.
So he's a funny horse. His two-year-old preparation looked pretty solid. Listed maybe Group 3 standard. There are a couple that he was racing against that went on to that level as three-year-olds. But then he just dropped right off and almost was... It looked disinterested at times in some of his runs in the last 12 months. His best recent run was the second at Haydock around that, he was running enlisted in Group 3 races, and I just think they might have been a bit beyond him. So here he is in Australia. He bobs up in a 78 off a couple of good jump outs, which have been good. On race form in the UK, I probably couldn't have him, but on jump out form, I could have him. Mm. And at 78 grade, I'm inclined to sort of take the punt on him. He's got gate speed. He'll sit close to the pace. He's done that in his races overseas. He's done that again in his jump out, so that's good. I like that consistency that he's still got that toe early. There's not a great deal of speed in this race, I didn't think. So he gets a nice enough run, particularly from gate four, and Tio Nugent's a great young jockey. So I think he gets every chance to make a positive start to his career in Australia. I had him on top. Most of these, they're genuine 78 horses. They go around in these sorts of races each week. Somebody gets a turn of winning, and then, you know, it takes them three or four runs to win again because they get up in the handicap. Ruben Bleu, he's the danger, but he needs a stone-cold ride. All of his best runs have been when he's fallen out the back or been restrained early, saved up for one crack at him, and he finishes like a train. At Lakeside, he was really close, sat in the box seat, stayed on well, but just lacked that punch late. Same story at Flemington last week. Good speed, was right up behind them, loomed up like he was going to win, but others finished better. I think if he is held back early and safe for that one last run, that is when Ruben Bleu shows his best, and he could get his turn to win.
Leader, expecting improvement on a good track?
Leader's leader. It'll go forward. It'll be thereabouts. It'll look like it's some chance on the corner. It's just a matter of something finishes better than that. He is very, very consistent at this level, but, you know, he won a 70 back in February, and he's just struggled to get the job done at 78 grade since then.
All right, so you're with the ex-international first Aussie start. Was $6 a couple of days ago, now into $4.40. Happy to play at $4.40?
Probably not. Poetic Dream is the one at gross overs at $51, but I don't know what's going on with this horse. Ever since it arrived in Australia, its jump outs and trials have looked really good, and he's looked really good again in a couple of jump outs for the Hawks team since transferring over from Lindsay Park. But on race day, there's just nothing there. I don't know what it is with this horse.
He's had almost a year off.
Maybe it's between the ears with him. Maybe there was an injury niggle. I don't know. But the raw talent is there. At $51, if he won, it wouldn't shock me because he has been going well at the jump. It's not like he's being hunted along and he's, you know, under the pump in heats. He's just cruising. Well, he's a very, very strange horse, hard horse to assess.
There's been no market lead as yet, so no. Watch the markets tomorrow.
I don't think there will be.
No.
I don't think the connections would know. They've probably been in this position before with the horse, expecting that he'd run well. I remember at its first start, it might have been in an Ori Star or something like that. He was really well back to win and just gave naught. So, funny horse, Old Poetic Dream.
Well, when you've got four or five duck eggs next to your name, it's hard to come into them. Race number four, this is an intriguing race. I really like the favourite here. He just does a few things wrong. And Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. look like they hold the key here. They've got the top three in betting. Right You Are at 310, Smoke Bomb 480, and Liberate at 750. Which way are you going?
I think Mick Price and Mick Kent will win the race. Oh, Richo's texting again. He's on fire. He said Moses was the hardest he raced against.
The 400-metre hurdle champion?
No, Moses, I think.
Oh, mate, right, OK.
The old mate who parted the seas.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway.
OK.
Self-deprecation.
Eric Bannister? Roger Bannister.
Roger Bannister? Wasn't he the crooked cop?
The 400
metre. I know it's Roger Rogerson.
400 metre. Chariots of Fire. Anyway, I need to do some Googling.
Yeah. Anyway, Mick Price and Mick Kent will win this race, I think. I'm with Smoke Bomb. Have really liked its two runs from a break, Smoke Bomb. He's flying this time around. He absorbed pressure first up, and he was really strong to the line. And then last time, he just dominated the race from the front. Cruised along, and he was much faster than the other 1400 metre race on the night, albeit it was a maiden. But he was significantly faster and looked like he had some more up his sleeve too. You would think that he would have no issue with a step to 1600 metres. He also gets a lead all to himself here. There's no pressure. I really struggle to find genuine pressure. Because he is a natural leader, there are horses that will settle handy. I think Regards of Marie will be thereabouts. Librate will be thereabouts. But they're not horses that would want to go and really press for a lead. So Jake Noonan might have the opportunity just to control things here from three, and we know how Caulfield's been playing this season at least. It's no disadvantage to be on the pace.
Why aren't the three price Kent horses sitting 1, 2, 3 almost from their good draws?
They probably should be, shouldn't they? I think Right You Are probably lacks that little bit of gate speed, and this horse is still learning. Werribee wasn't his track. It's probably a reason why he's been at, you know, Pakenham and Sandown Hillside before that. The bigger venues. And when you watch those replays compared to Werribee, he was off the bit, and Oliver had to really get into him to pick up around that sort of triangular circuit. Once he got balanced and straight, he was okay. He ran to the line well. You'll think he'd improve off that. But I just thought the leader, Smoke Bomb, might be more straightforward at this stage of the game, and he could lead and win.
All right, Smoke Bomb at $4.80 is the selection. Could it be a trifecta for the team?
Could be. Librate, really good win last time. Settled a little further back than it had at Ballarat when winning there. But before that, we'd seen it right up on the box seat in the Lelia and races like that. So from a good gate, I don't think Jamie Carr will be giving that up. He'll be settling in the first four or five. Charlize in the game too, just unlucky in that same race, Librate. It's a really competitive race, but I did like Smoke Bomb.
All right, Smoke Bomb for the Shark. Race number five is over 1,200 metres. And we spoke to Amy Yagi before, and a great story that you wrote on Amy and Ash. She's one of the most likable people in racing.
She's
good fun. Well. And I think she summed it up pretty well, where Jamaican Hurry just seems to be continually underrated. It's an $8.50 chance. It beat Home Godot and last start at $4. Twitchy Frank is at $7.50. But this is a race with a few chances, I think.
The problem I've got in the Jamaican Hurry v. Gododden matchup is that Gododden gave it 4 kilos last time and now meets it on level weight. It only beat it by a quarter of a length. 4 kilos is a lot. That's a serious penalty to get for a quarter-length victory, particularly when racing styles show us Gododden's going to have a considerable head start, you would say, on Jamaican Hurry in the run again, especially with that horse drawing 16. I am firmly in the Gododden camp here. I think she's one of the better bets on the day. There are some more talented mares in this race at their best. You know, Twitchy Frank, Dyslexic, Music Bay. They're all sort of stakes class horses, but it's been a long time between drinks for some of them. I thought Causeway Girl had run well first up. Ollie said she pulled her head off in the first part of the race, but she was awful. That's her worst run in a long, long time. I couldn't back her on the back of that run. Gododden's very consistent. She jumps, she sits on speed, she's got a nice little kick in her races, and then she just holds that effort. Last start with the weight, it just told that last 100 metres. Beautifully ridden by Brad Rawiller. If he rides like that again tomorrow, I think he'll be in front and probably with a little more up his sleeve with the weight being down on the minimum. She won that Grand Handicap Sprint. The listed race probably a bit beyond her, and then against the boys at Sandown on a heavy 9, I thought it was a really brave run. She's the pick for me. Gododden gets a nice trail up here on a couple of leaders. Pariano and number 15, which is Oh So Hazy, just gets a stone cold sit on them. Every chance to win.
Is this your best of the day, Gododden?
She's sort of getting there, yeah, I think so. One of them, anyway. I just think she's a really safe option. I can't see her missing a place. And if you ran the race, you know, 10 times, I think she probably wins it a couple.
All right, Gododden, $4 in race number 5. That could be the little bank builder we need before the quaddie. And that is what we'll be discussing up next. You're listening to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We'll be back after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We're up to the first leg of the quaddie at Caulfield, which is race number 6. And News Girl is looking to make it 2 in a row. She is the favourite at $3.40 ahead of Hawker Hurricane at $4. And then we're at the Tabby Sand at $5.50. They're the only three under double figure odds here, Sharky. Gee, the your race table's been so well placing their horses. I can't remember the name of the horse, but I saw one in New South Wales that looks like the next superstar. It won by about 7 lengths last week.
Right. And
to bring the horses over the border, he's got to take them to another stable. They've then got to take them. So it's an elaborate process, but
a mission.
The horses are running. It's certainly worthwhile. And News Girl, a lot of punters are saying, could be one of the best bets on the program tomorrow. What do you
Front
think?
Page, was that the name of that horse? Won by nine and a half lengths at Albury in one by.
Yeah.
That's a fair effort. Look, News Girl's going to get a great run. There's really good speed in this race. Tavasan probably leads. Ashlaw gets forward. Reward with Return has been going so well for Nathan Hobson in the country. Drawn in, it's got great speed. News Girl and Hawker Hurricane probably stalk them. I thought Tavasan was just about ready to win, but with that pressure on him here, I'm just sort of working away from him a bit. I think it's the horse that gets the cold sit on them, that, you know, in that first wave that might have the edge. He doesn't win often, Hawker Hurricane, and because he runs in group races, he starts in probably a touch under what his true odds should be, but he's going well enough to win this, surely, particularly with what looks to be a really good sit on that speed. All he has to do, Jordan Childs, is basically keep in touch with them and hope that Reward with Return and Tavasan might set it up just a little bit, make those leaders vulnerable, just eat away at each other in the middle part of the race, and he can finish off over the top. He's a hesitant top pick. News Girl, really hard to beat, going really well. Just got into the right part of the track there, angled out. Lewis German just took it to the right part of the track. It was a great ride from him. Only goes up a kilo on that after his claim. Hard to beat again. And the Smoky, I think, may be the Centurion, number 7. Really good winning strike rate. Really good first up record. Gets back, runs on, has a strong pace to sit back off and finish it. That last sort of 400 metres. I think it's a good recipe for the Centurion at odds. He's a must for the quaddie. Hawker Hurricane on top, but not overly confident.
Yeah, it looks a tricky first leg. I thought
it is
a touch disappointing in the Wongoom.
Yeah,
probably arguably this is a lower level.
I don't know if he really likes that sort of heavy ground and anything beyond sort of a soft six. Getting back onto a better deck, I think, is in his favour. And if you go back and look at his best win, which is the Magic Millions 3-year-old race at Ballarat, he beat Little Contra, who's a stakes class horse, and Acadian, who's pretty solid as well, and just sat on the speed then and was too strong late. I think it's probably a similar scenario here. He can let the leaders go. I don't like him leading. Something to chase down, though. I think we'll see Hawker Hurricane sort of hitting the line really nicely. The other horse to throw in your quaddie is Never Again, number 11. I was very wary of him first up. He was firm in the market, you know, just hung around that $11, $10. I just nibbled at him without really having a big go. His jump outs had been good. Oliver on first up for Clint McDonald, who we know the stable doesn't mind a bet when they like them. 2 from 3 second up. It wasn't a bad run. He was closing late without really being put under much pressure. Oliver sticks with him. Again, a strong tempo is going to suit because he gets back and finishes off. He's going in my quaddie. It's a tricky start, though.
All right, well, give us those quaddie numbers.
4, 5, 7, 8, 11.
4, 5, 7, 8, and 11. News Girl, Tavasan. 7, the Centurion. And 8, Hawker Hurricane, and Never Again. So you're throwing a few darts, which is good to see. We'll be alive, hopefully, after this first leg of
Hope
the quaddie.
So.
And then do we go one out? Sikorsky's the short play of the day with a lot of punters.
We don't go one out. I'm throwing another one in, but Sikorsky looks the horse to beat. I'd say the speed is moderate here. Taviran looks the leader. All Too Hoying is another one that likes to go forward. Then you've got Sikorsky and Pure Scott that will probably try and lob in that anywhere from third to sort of fifth. Sikorsky presented perfectly into that race at Flemington, third up off two really good runs back from a long break. He was just asked to go and win the race by Oliver, he responded. I actually liked the last 150 of his race. It looked like others might get closer to him, but once he got to his peak, he held that right through the line. I thought that was a really good sign. No harder here. And he gets it. He's got the ability to go and sit closer to the speed, which I think is a big plus here, because quite a number of these horses, you know, there's five or six here that are still building into their prep and probably want a bit more ground. You know, the second up, third up, but looking for 2,000 and probably a bit more. So I think he just strikes the right race to go and win against Sikorsky, and I can completely understand why he's been really well backed. He's probably, he is one of the better bets of the day, in my opinion. No Say In It is the other horse to go into the quaddie. I don't think he liked that heavy track at Ballarat, and the small field sprint home probably didn't suit him, but he got going well late. Lindsay Smith's horses, if you look at their profiles, they build into a prep, and they tend to peak sort of third and fourth run in. No Say In It. Look, we might be going a run early. I think third up to 2,000 is really going to be when you can have a bet on the horse. But if he won tomorrow, it wouldn't surprise me, and for that reason, he goes in the quaddie too. Right. 6 and 8 go in. You mentioned the international. Only one jump out. It was okay. His best form's over 2,400 metres plus, and again, on his recent race form in the UK, there's nothing that really stands out there. And you say, oh, wow, that's super form. I need to have him. It's okay. Sleeping Lion's the best horse that he's sort of come close to, and he had him well and truly covered. Yeah, I'd let him go around without me, Bartholomew. I'd be surprised if he was able to win.
All right, 6 and 8. The only two in the second leg of the quaddie. Race 8 is the Vale Kevin O'Brien. It's great to see Caulfield naming a race in honour of Kevin. I know you spent a fair bit of time with Kevin.
Yeah, and, terrific fella.
Had a big impact in Victorian breeding and racing as well. So condolences once again to the O'Brien family. Jumbo Ozaki's a favourite here at $3.80 now with Danny O'Brien. But Victoria Star is the horse that is in rare form. Gee, this horse has done a bit of travelling. It's
a
short career from New Zealand to Hong Kong and now back to Melbourne. And trainer Greg Urell has it going extremely well. And it's always great to have a chat to Greg. Good morning, Greg. Oh, he's not there. Sorry. If we get him, it'll be nice to have a chat to Greg.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a chat to Greg.
If you were Greg, what would you say about this galloper? Because gee, it's going well.
Yeah, he is going well, and it was a good, determined win. I think it's probably... He looks like he's improved a little bit on that first prep back from Hong Kong. Last spring, he was able to win two races, but at times in those races, it didn't look like he was going to win. Like he had to dig and find a little bit. At Cranbourne first up, he lobbed into a beautiful midfield spot for Froggy, and then when the gap came, he just took it and went straight through. There was a real turn of foot there, a true turn of foot. That's a great sign as he goes up in grade, as he is into this race. Beautiful gate again. Knew it probably lands third, fourth, fifth, somewhere like that. It's just going to be a matter of if he's good enough when the gaps come, because they will come from there. At this stage of the day, rail 9, you'd think they'd start angling off the fence a little bit. He's going to get the run. It's just a matter of whether he's good enough. I'm not sure. He goes in the quaddie 100%, you have to put him in. I just thought there was better value here in a tough race with, again, a heap of internationals that are in this race. Or there's three. That's a heap. Oh, no, there's actually four. Biometric is the most talented, one of the most talented of that quartet, and probably suited at this trip. He's had two jump outs. I like the second one on the poly track at Flemington better than the first. Thought he'd improved into that. He won the Britannia, which is one of those heritage handicap races during Royal Ascot. He was right down in the weights on that occasion, though, and he came from near last. It was really good last sort of 600 from the horse that day. But the handicapper got him after that, and he was basically ineffective. Gate 20, I think, puts him out of this, but just watch him. We might be able to do something with this horse as he steps up in grade and gets some relief at the weights. Price Range won a Sandown jump out May 19. Really good. He beat Dubai Dominion, who's earlier in the day. That was a super run there. I like the form around him in France. He's just short of, say, listed Group 3 class, but when he went back to handicaps, he was winning them well. I think he's well-weighted here, and I reckon he can win. Mount Popper needs ground. Handicap stayer, not good enough. The most interesting horse in the race is I Could Do Better. If this gets into the field, it can win the race. He won three in a row early days and beat a horse called King of Comedy. That horse won a listed race and then was second in the second at Royal Ascot, a Circus Maximus. I think it was the St James Palace last year. And then he ran second at Ben Battle. So the form around him is really, really good. He lost his way after that. He changed stables and just wasn't the same horse. Now he finds himself in Australia. Two quiet jump outs, typical of Waller. I'm very interested in him because at his best, he is so well in at the weights in this race. He's just got to get into the race.
What's he done with jump outs or trials?
Just cruised around. Yeah, two really cruisy jump outs. Not asked for anything at any point and has looked the part. His actions look good and clean. I'm super interested in this horse if it gets a run.
I'm intrigued by all these lightly raced internationals which are starting to come over here to Australia. Well, it's been going on for a while, but these seem to be a lot of younger lightly raced ones. Speaking of price range, would you be looking at for these horses over in the European market?
Depends where you're buying them from. If you're getting them out of that October sale, you know, like the horses that Waller bought over from during the Autumn Carnival, Imaging and those sort of horses, you're anywhere from £100,000 to £300,000, depending on what they've done. If you're buying them privately, you're probably paying a little bit more because they're not for sale. If they're at an auction, it's, you know, they're there to be sold, aren't they? So it just depends on the scenario. I'm not sure what I could do better. I'm not sure what the go is with him. I couldn't find him in the Tattersall's website as having been through that sale, so I'm suspecting it was a private purchase. Yeah, that form, it's too good here. If he's going well and if he gets into the field, just be really wary of that horse, number 19.
All right, well, that's a good tip there for the punters. Just on those, because you've got your finger on the pulse with the internationals.
Yeah.
What chance are we to get the internationals out here? If they're not the ones that are trained, the horses that have been purchased and flying out here that could be competing.
Oh, no, they're coming. Yeah, we've got... There's a shipment coming in June. We've got two on that. That'll come here, and I think it's full. I think the shipment's full. Now, they're probably horses like these ones that are racing tomorrow, progressive horses. I wouldn't say there's... Oh, I don't know what's on the shipment, but I doubt that there's any major cups chances on the shipment. There's probably three-year-olds, new season four-year-olds that have had four or five starts and maybe won one or two. There'd be a group of those, I would assume.
All right. Give us your numbers in race eight.
Tricky race for the quad. You've got to go wide here, I think. We don't know the scratchings. 1, 6, 9, 12, 15, 19.
1, 6, 9, 12, 15, and 19. So that's Heptagon. Price range, you put it in.
Yeah.
9, Viral. 12, Jumbo Ozaki.
They get the best runs.
15, Victoria Star. And 19, if it gets a run, I could do better.
Viral, Jumbo Ozaki, Victoria Star all get super runs. But whether they're good enough to beat price range... if it turns up in really good shape, or I could do better if it gets into the field, that's the query I've got. So you have to go a little bit wide.
All right. Last race of 9 on the Caulfield card is over the 2,000 metres, and Girl Tuesday is the favourite here, and it is $6 the field. Equal favourite with Hangman, Muhammad Dias, Super Titus, Inverlox in the market. Cars off this morning was Dino's Ramaruffi.
Yeah, I like it, but where's it going?
It's $11.
Because it's in Sydney as well. That's the trick with this race. There's a couple of horses that are booked to go different places, and we don't know where they're going yet. So you've got to be a little bit cautious as far as picking quaddies on a Friday.
And Pekadali on the backup.
Yeah.
It's looking for a firm track.
Yeah, it is. And its first up run was really, really good.
Really good.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't shock me if he was able to win. He's good enough, isn't he? It's a really tough last leg of the quaddy, and, you know, I'd love to go skinny, but I just don't think you can. Karzoff's ready to win. I don't know if he's running here, though. Super Titus, I thought, was really good last time. He'd been building up to that sort of performance. He gets a really similar run this time around. If you like him, you have to like Muhammad Dias, because, similarly, he was building up to a run like that. He got a good run. He came into the race with Super Titus. Gave that horse a kilo. He meets him a kilo again better at the weights here. So he's in the game. Then you're down to horses like Hangman, who, again, first up was good, I thought. second up, 1,700, he thought, okay, chased hard behind Rupture, this is looking good, and then back to 1,600 on a heavy track, he just sort of regressed a little bit. He was there to be in the finish, and then just was a bit soft late. I think 2,000's his right trip. You have to give him a chance. At barrier 16 from the 2,000 at Caulfield, it's not an easy scenario for any horse, let alone one that probably hasn't reached the heights. It's a really, really tough race. Girl Tuesday, I think, is probably... Because she was unlucky last start, people are going to say, oh, well, she was unlucky, she should have won. That was a really weak race against the mares. Oasis Girls, by far the horse you want to follow out of that race. The rest of them, like Nerve Not Verve, she's been going around in midweek races and she ran second. The Hawkesbury Cup run was, again, unlucky, but she finds that sort of traffic, Girl Tuesday. She's a big galumph and she needs galloping room. She can win and she goes in the quarter. I couldn't back her.
All right, we'll
couldn't back
her.
It's really tough this last week. Without scratchings, 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 11.
All right, 1, the Peccadilly, 2,
but Carousel, who knows what it looks
3,
like tomorrow.
Super Titus,
who
6,
knows?
Girl Tuesday, 8, Mohammedius, and 11, Hangman. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. We'll get Sharky's best. I'll read through a few SMSs, and I'll also see if he can tip us the winner in the Fred Best Classic up in Brisbane.
9.63. Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Time for Sharky's Best Bets on Friday Form Focus. We love the correspondence from the listeners, and there's been a fair bit of correspondence about this alleged match race that we were going to be organising. One listener's not keen on the Maltese Falcon.
No, said that if his only chance really is if you put a pie at the winning post. Talk about that.
That's a bit harsh. That's a bit
He's not that fat.
SMS here, this one's anonymous, but I do like it. Surely Michael will be riding home News Girl as an omen bet tomorrow. Yes, it could be one. We do have a bet on tomorrow. Let's have a look. Roger Bannister was the first to break the 4-minute mile. That's who I was thinking of.
Chariots of Fire.
Broadway and first will be winning against this lot unless some miles is absolutely flying.
Well, it looks like she is.
It does. That's one... there's another one here saying, can you ask Sharky for his best international anywhere tomorrow? He is the international.
International? Group. Oh, running at Caulfield. Well, if it gets into the field, I think I Could Do Better is a great chance. Right. If it doesn't, price range in the same race is very hard to beat.
Are we on the good thing up north in the Fred Best?
A good thing. What good thing is that?
Dawn Passage?
I don't think it's a good thing.
No good thing.
It's not a good thing.
So who's going to win it?
I like Exhilarates. I think Exhilarates has been set to really peek into this carnival. She's a really good horse, we know that. She's Magic Millions winner. She's got form around Alligator Blood, etc. I liked her Gold Coast return at the track where she races so well. Came from near last there behind Hightail, was doing some very, very nice late work. I think she can win. Subpoenaed's not out of the game either. I don't think it's a one-horse race
by
any stretch.
All right, give us your best bets at Caulfield tomorrow.
Sikorsky in race number 7 just maps beautifully. And the other one that maps beautifully and gets a great run is Gododdin in race 5. I think they're just on the maps and on their current form and weights, they're just both there to win.
All right, we like that. Sounds like a little multi-play.
Could be.
Sharky, good luck today. I know you're about to hit the bay.
It's a beautiful day
for a fish.
Need some dirty water pushing up around Chilcot Channel just to get those whiting going. You know, sun's out. If the water's clear, that just might be a bit finicky. So I'll need to do some work there. All otherwise, right. I'll tell you what, I did see a very big shark the other morning in very shallow
Where?
Water in Western Port Bay. Secret spot, but needless to say, if you live on the eastern side of Western Port Bay, I wouldn't be going swimming.
Oh, God, thank God you didn't say in here.
It was a big animal.
We were going to have a swim later on.
Yeah, it was a big animal.
Good luck, Sharky.
Thank you, Michael. We'll see
you on Monday for the verdict. That's it for Friday Form Focus. Time for the news. On the other side of that, we'll be back with all the winners at Geelong.